Blog Talk Radio.
B-boy, where the fuck you at? I've been looking for your ass since the quarter past. Hot peas and butter, baby, come and get your supper. Before I make you suffer, that's when you had enough of. Yeah. Can I get hot when you hit the jackpot? Surely I can if you the man. I get loose and produce large amounts of juice. Can you get used to that or do you need a boost of energy to enter me and get it on? You're getting warm. I can feel
you. Scott Burke from the Clown Times sports blog I keep. It's Clown with a K. And you can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me on Facebook as well. Just do a search for the Clown Times and you'll be able to find us there. We have a treat for y'all tonight. Given that this is the hot stove league of the NBA, if you will, free agent kicked off over the weekend at 12:01 a.m., I think Monday morning. Someone checked me on that, but at any rate, we're going to talk about the big fish in the pond, which is one indecisive, one capricious, one doesn't know what the hell he's thinking one minute or the other, the Dwight Howard, and where his ass going to line up. At any rate, we're going to have a panel for y'all. First of all, we're going to have Jeremy Winters, who's a noted Laker fan and pretty pissed off at Dwight Howard right now, as well as Dwayne Nash. You all know him from the Yard and HBCU Sports, and hopefully Cedric Hall will be on the line too. But fellas, Jeremy, Dwayne,
yes,
welcome. Yeah. What's happening,
gentlemen? What's going on?
Hey there.
All right. We're gonna have some fun with this, shall we? I think is this Ced here? Hold on, is this Cedric?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What's that? Sorry about that. All right, cool. So we got all three of y'all in the house. So basically, let's just get this started, fellas. And Jeremy, you could go first since you're the Laker fan.
Okay.
Where is the Dwight Howard going to end up, and why should he stay with the Lakers, in your opinion?
Well, where he's going to end up, that's something only he knows. But why should he stay with the Lakers? Well, look, you're looking at a franchise that has won a title on the average every 3 years for the last 30. Nobody else comes even close. They've proven time and time again through multiple transactions that they will bring in the people to win a championship. Houston got lucky twice in the mid-90s. Dallas got lucky once. Atlanta's never gotten lucky, nor has Golden State back, but I was 2 years old, and they haven't even come close since. So if he can't handle the pressure, then he'll probably be in Houston. If he wants to step up to the plate like the man that he's supposed to be, then he'll sign with the Lakers and try to get himself that ring and get himself a statue. That's the bottom line for this. And you know what? As a Lakers fan, I'm kind of at peace with this because I think if he signs with Houston, then that's the type of guy he is, and I don't think they'd win with him. If he's willing to step up and sign with the Lakers, well, then that's serving notice of the rest of the league, and then it's on.
Right.
So that's my take on this right now.
Okay. So, Dwayne Nash, what say you, my friend? What say you?
Wow. I really have no idea of where this guy is going to sign. I'm completely perplexed, but I truly believe out of the teams that you've named, the Lakers will probably be the worst fit for this guy. I think that because of the fact of how D'Antoni, his style is as a coach, really doesn't match the style of play for Dwight Howard, in my personal opinion. Dwight is more of a half-court player. From what I've seen in terms of D'Antoni, his career from Phoenix in New York, he's more of an up-tempo guy, even though he really didn't succeed too well in New York. And I'm still believing that's just because of the player or the personnel that he had there with him. And I'm thinking that the personnel that he has in L.A. doesn't really match this guy either. But I'm hoping for the Lakers' sake that they're able to bring in some pieces to actually fit that system. But, wow, the other part of the question in terms of where would he be best served, I'm thinking somewhere in Texas, be it either Houston or Dallas, but I'm thinking he's going to actually end up in Atlanta. They have the money to do so. I don't know if they'll actually end up re-signing Josh Smith, but if they do, I think that'll be a perfect situation for Josh Smith at the four and Dwight Howard at the five. And they also have a lot of cash to spend as well, being that they have a lot of free agency money freed up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with Atlanta. There's going to be a logjam at the four and the five if they do bring back Josh Smith.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have, you know, basically someone sitting, Al Horford sitting on the bench, or Josh Smith trying to play the three. And Josh Smith, as we know, is not a three-point shooter. He's an athletic four. He is not one that you want hanging out on the perimeter, cranking up threes. If he ends up in Dallas, I mean, how is that different from Los Angeles? Because you've got a roster that's kind of in transition. The Lakers have one guy currently in contract for 2014-2015. And so they can completely revamp everything. You know, the only guy they've got signed for that, you know, for 2 years out is Steve Nash. Everyone else comes off the books. So they can surround him with whoever they want, be that, Carmelo Anthony or LeBron James, who should be up for contract renewals at that time, or whoever they want. That free agent class is gigantic. So the Lakers having maybe
another thing. Another thing about him being in Atlanta, he doesn't want to play home team. I think Atlanta's out. No one wants to play in Atlanta.
Wow. John is from there, and he doesn't want to play.
Nobody wants to play for the Hawks.
Yeah. So. I'm thinking it would be a good situation in terms of the three-man rotation with Josh Smith, Al Horford, and Dwight Howard. But I also believe that I don't think that Dwight would be willing to play with anyone who was willing to get in his face if he's not going to play well. So that just already eliminates a Kobe and also a LeBron. That whole dynamic of a Dwight and a Carmelo would be interesting, but that would also depend upon what other pieces that they bring in there. And, wow, I also would be interested to see what direction that the Lakers head into in terms of head coach once this season is done as well. You're completely right. They have only Steve Nash on the books come the end of the season. I don't think if they actually are willing to keep a 40-year-old Steve Nash on that roster.
Mm.
Well, at that point, it might be whether or not Steve Nash can even play at that point. We don't know if it was just the training staff at Phoenix that was keeping him moving. He may just break into pieces at some point this season. We don't know. But, that case, they'll deal with that when it happens. But, mm-hmm. It is wide open. And if, another thing that's kind of quietly being brought up right now is that when the Lakers have their final meeting, there are going to be representatives from Time Warner there as well. So if Dwight truly wants to have his brand global, wants to do television, the Lakers have a deal with Time Warner, a 20-year deal worth $3 billion. Time Warner has it in their vested interest to have Dwight there as well. I don't know if he's going to get a reality show out of this or what, but that's something Houston, Dallas, definitely not Atlanta or Golden State is going to be able to offer him.
Let me say this, fellas. I'm going to come back to Cedric in a second. Jeremy touched on something there. I said on my blog earlier that while I think the wife's demeanor would be a better fit for him in Houston because, let's just recount how whole this has started. All that fool had to do was to opt out in his last year of Orlando. That's all he had to do. But because, a couple of things. Because he didn't want to be perceived like the next LeBron and have to wear the black hat, and because of his insatiable need of wanting to be liked, he kept his ass in Orlando for some reason. Only he knows. Only he knows. But if he had his brothers, remember, he wanted to be able to be traded to Brooklyn with Dallas as an outside shot. You know, he wanted to go ball with Darren Williams and those boys. So basically, you know, his indecisiveness kept him in Orlando for an extra year, which led him to the trade, which he did sign off on, to come to L.A. But deep down, I had a feeling that he wasn't ready for that. And it kind of showed. I mean, he tried his best, but, you know, for his personality, you know, he's more of a jokester. He doesn't take stuff seriously, whereas the Mamba, Kobe Bryant, he'll ride your ass if you're not taking it seriously because he wants to win. He wants to win at least one more ring to catch Jordan, right?
That's
so
right.
That's why I figured that his demeanor would allow him to go to Houston, but I have a strong feeling, you know, due to Jeremy's point, with Time Warner and that $3 billion with a B, and that exposure, the allure of L.A., I think, and plus, you know, L.A. can, you know, according to the collective bargaining agreement, to pay him at least an extra $30 million. So I think in the end, money talks, and it won't be surprising to me if he kept his ass in Los Angeles. So, Cedric, what do you think about that, my man?
I don't know. You know, I mean, you're right. A lot of this could have been avoided, you know. I mean, I know the Lakers probably are, you know, would be a good fit in terms of him winning championships. Do you really want him on the Lakers? I don't know. I wouldn't.
Cedric, that's why I said I'm really okay with this either direction because I'll know what kind of guy we're dealing with. I mean, you know, I'll give him credit. He gutted it out, and he came back early from a back injury. And, it, you know, it showed that he came back too early, but he helped out the team, and, they probably don't make the playoffs if he doesn't gut it out early on in the season. And there
That's
was a
true.
Lot of signs of him, you know, a lot of signs of improvement at the end. He and Powell seemed to have some things worked out as they made that push at the end, especially after Kobe went down injured. So, you know, with something along those lines, if he's really wanting to allow his reputation – you know, if you thought what LeBron went through, as everyone questioned whether or not he had what it takes to win the big one, it's going to be nothing compared to what Dwight's going to have to endure if he goes running to Houston because he can't handle the pressure of playing in L.A. and with Kobe. It's going to get ugly for him. So if he wants to have any chance at rehabbing his image, he needs to stay in L.A. and he needs to man up and go and try and get himself a ring. That's the bottom line for this. And if he doesn't think he's up to that, then I'm fine with him going. And my Lakers having enough cap space and the best market and the greatest franchise history going into the best free agent market in the history of ever. Also at the same time tanking and bottoming out as we come into the best draft we've had in years. So I'm okay with this either way.
Well, I'll say this. You know, I didn't even really give thought to the free agent class of 2014, when basically you got LeBron James or Stephen A. Smith would say LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony and probably several others. I mean, first of all, you know, as a Knicks fan, I mean, I'm getting a little off subject here, but we'll come back to it, I promise. As a Knicks fan, I hope that we don't have the dearth of superstars in New York City, but that's another podcast for another day. But to Jeremy's point, who's going to turn down L.A.? Who's going to turn down the Lakers? I mean, I hadn't seen anyone worth their basketball sneakers turn down Los Angeles, turn down to play for the right to play for the purple and gold, you know, the same franchise at Showtime, what, five championships too? And, you know, and with Shaq and Kobe reincarnated that Showtime in the in the 2000s with three more, you know what I'm saying? So, I you know, it's scary for me because as a Knicks fan, it's my birthright. It's not personal, fellas, Jeremy. This is my birthright to hate the Lakers and the Celtics. But, you know, I'd rather see L.A. do well than the Celtics. That's just a whole history of that. But at any rate, the fact of the matter is that if anyone could pull this off, it is the Los Angeles Lakers. It is the Los Angeles Lakers. Well, I'll say this, fellas. What to do about D'Antoni? Why does he still have a job? Why doesn't Jim Buss just make a just admit that he made a mistake twice and bring back Phil Jackson or someone like Phil Jackson? What's up with that?
I think we'll go ahead and allow Jeremy to answer that question first. And then I think I'm going to step in. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
All right. Why is he still there? Because they're trying to have a little bit of stability. They want to let let D'Antoni have a chance to make it work with those four. Because, I mean, you know, how many games in a row did they get to play together where one of them wasn't limping around? So if you can get those big names playing together and working together, running and gunning under D'Antoni's system, you can see something very impressive. Now, if they're all healthy and they're all playing together and they still can't win, he's gone. And you know, they won't hesitate at that point. But in the meantime, you know, it's kind of hard to pull the trigger when these guys didn't get a training camp with him. They didn't get, you know, but what, maybe 30 or 40 games where they were all healthy, but, you know, never at the same time. So you can't really hold that against him. So if they pull the trigger and dump him, it just looks like Buss the Younger doesn't know what he's doing and is flailing about. And that's when the story becomes about him.
Right, exactly. So do you think they should have kept Mike Brown a little bit longer, or is that like the point?
They should have never hired Mike Brown. Have hired Mike Brown.
I disagree with the hire as well. I mean, outside of the fact that he is kind of known for his defensive prowess, and that is more or less what he did in San Antonio, not really what he did in Cleveland, because if you look at that Cleveland team that he had, they weren't known for defense. They were known for LeBron James, and they just happened to have a very, very good player that carried that entire team. So you bring in a head coach that really has no identity to the Lakers and Mike Brown, and you expect them to, when things get rough, fall back onto what? So you bring in a head coach like Mike D'Antoni, who really doesn't have any preseason whatsoever to play with these guys or to coach these guys. Also, he has a coaching staff that he's never coached with, along with off-injured all-star players, you know, Paul Gasol and Dwight Howard, and then Kobe later on in the year. And then he really wasn't too much of a fan of that bench that they have in L.A. as well. I mean, they have pieces, but I just want to see with this team, a healthy team, if they're willing to also keep Paul Gasol as well, we'll be able to do under D'Antoni, even though I don't believe that the pieces that they have are the ones that will fit under this up-tempo system that he's known for.
Well, you know, I've always said that Mike Brown was no more than a defensive coordinator. And, you know, Kobe Bryant was the de facto offensive coordinator. You know, you saw him in those, like, diagram plays. You know what I'm saying? It's like pulling Paul Gasol aside and pointing to where he needs to be and the other guys, you know, like Smush Parkers and all those guys. Do you guys think that when during Mike Brown's first season, when they made it to the Western Conference semifinals against OKC, that they made it there in spite of him instead of because of him?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, he's the Wade Phillips of the NBA. You know, a great defensive coordinator, but you don't hand him the keys to the whole car and let him run the whole show because. Because, I mean, how often did he have that confused look on his face? Every time they were on offense, that's when it happened. Same thing with Wade Phillips when he coached the Cowboys. Confused look on his face every time they were on offense. Happened all the time. You can't win with a guy like that.
Go ahead, Seth. I was going to say something silly, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know he's going to throw the Cowboys in there one way or the other.
Yeah.
surprised we made it this long.
That's for NFL podcast later on. Where I let you guys go to war. I let you guys go to war then. But you know what, though? Nothing says the coach of the kiss of death more in coaching than to be labeled the Wade Phillips of any sport. I just want to throw it out there. I just want to throw it out there. And if you know that the Wade Phillips of anything, yeah, I should just stick to coordinating or just be an assistant, just going away. That's how I throw it in there. All right, so let's see. So basically, we all saying that Dwight Howard would be better off in L.A. and if he wants to prove, like, to be the man that he says he is, that he portrays himself to be. I think that's the general consensus here. If he wanted to show that he wanted to be the man, he'll stay. But I think in our collective gut feelings, if you will, that he'll probably end up somewhere else, namely one of the Texas teams. I'm still saying Houston. I'm still saying in my gut he's going. Well, I'm probably going to shuffle off to Houston.
Agreed. Think so.
Yeah, I mean, because this is how I see it. Houston is not the big market that L.A. is. It never will be. Nice city, but it's not L.A. And plus, you have James Harden, who's a superstar in his own right, okay? And, like, Chase, I think it's a Chase Dillinger, or I probably got that wrong, but a young sharp
Chandler
shooter,
Parsons.
I think that's Chandler Parsons, I'm sorry. Chandler Parsons, sorry about that. And a couple other pieces, you know, Kevin McHale is one of the better big men ever played in the NBA, even though he may have mooched off of Larry Bird and the Chief, Robert Parrish, but he's still a good player in his own right. He could probably teach Dwight Howard the tricks of the trade. And, you know, and plus, I guess on paper, I'm trying to say it's on paper right now, just right now, as constructed right now, I think Houston with Dwight Howard will be instant contenders in the Western Conference. Even though they'll probably end up butting heads with the San Antonio Spurs, you know, for the last, maybe the next 2 years while they still have Tim Duncan before he shuffles off to the sunset. But I would put the Rockets up there with that lineup, with Dwight Howard, if he comes to Houston. What say you guys?
If he goes to Houston, I think that Houston has earned the right to lose to the Thunder in the conference finals.
This will be Houston, the Western Conference Finals with Dwight. Wow.
I could see
never
that.
Making it to the championship
game. I'll put them up there. I mean, wow. I would put them up there. I would put them up there.
Interesting.
I mean, I think they're Western Conference, but I don't see them getting out of the Western Conference.
Okay.
Not
Do you still think it's OKC's world? You think still think it's OKC's world?
Westbrook is healthy.
It also depends upon who else they bring in, because as we very well see, as we have seen, along with Westbrook being healthy, they need someone else to come off the bench and give them some buckets. I was actually just having a discussion with someone not too long ago, and let me warn you guys before I make this statement, I am a Wizards fan. So in saying that, I don't think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are that good of a team without Kevin Durant. You basically take Durant away and you almost have the Washington Wizards. Actually, probably less than that. You really don't have a lot of players on that team that are giving you a lot of points. You basically have Durant and Westbrook, and then hopefully you're getting some points from Martin, who's also a free agent this year, and maybe get some play out of, God, I can't pronounce that. Whether Sergio, please help me with this guy's last name.
Ibaka? Sergio Ibaka?
Not Sergio Ibaka, the other guy. I think it's Sergio. It's something with a T.
I know
what
you're talking about.
Zephalosha?
Yes. That guy, he'll get you some points every now and again as well. But they need a third guy that's going to come in there and give them some buckets. And they haven't really had it since they've lost James Harden to Houston. So if they can come in and get somebody in there, I see that Oklahoma City may be able to to hold on to the Western Conference if they can stay healthy. But if not, I see them dropping down to maybe the 3 or the 4 spot.
So basically, with the White Howard, say if Houston ended up with the White Howard, I also thought about Memphis. Now, that was before Memphis, for inexplicable reason, they got rid of Lionel Hollins as a coach. So I don't know what to make of them this year, but they still have the Bruce brothers and Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph down low. They just need a score. They just need a bona fide score on the wings to help them. But I have a hard time, for me personally, because maybe I'm partial to Tim Duncan, but personally, I think it's going to be maybe a 3 or 4 team race with Houston, San Antonio, OKC if they're all healthy, and Memphis if maybe whoever the hell is coaching them next season, will keep the train moving. But if the White House stays in L.A. and if they get the pieces around them, maybe after next season when the free agency bonanza, full of stars come through and they land at least one of those stars to come play with the White, then it's back to L.A. being in that discussion again. And I think that's to Jeremy's point. I think that's why it wouldn't surprise me. Now, I wouldn't exactly have a problem with Howard staying in Los Angeles because of that. Never mind Kobe coming back, if Kobe comes back or not, because he may be retiring after 2 years anyway.
Very true. That's actually the main piece that I'm worried about in L.A. is to see how Kobe comes back after this Achilles injury and to see how he plays and whether or not he'll be able to stand up to play a full season. If not even a full season, at least 72 out of the 82 games, and to see what the rest of the players look like, but mainly Kobe, of course.
Well, I have I have a hard time, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I have a hard time seeing Kobe on the sidelines. I mean, I guess to your point, Dwayne, for half the season. I have a hard time seeing him because knowing him, how hungry he is, he's going to work his ass off. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see some similar in football last year when T. Sizzle in Baltimore came back so quickly from that Achilles injury they suffered in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? Terrell Suggs, yeah. Terrell Suggs. So I'm thinking something like that for Kobe, if not better. Because knowing him, seeing how he works in the offseason, seeing how much time he puts in, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I wouldn't shock me to see him back maybe a week or two into the season. Maybe a week or two in the season. It would not shock me whatsoever. And if that happens, and if the White House is back in tow, healthy and hungry and motivated, look the hell out, Western Conference. Just look the hell out.
Well, also along with the whole Dwight Howard being healthy, I'm going to let this dude to start asking for the ball more. It's shameful to come in and watch a stat line with this dude in the game with 10-5. He's clearly, in most cases, the best center on the floor when he's playing night in and night out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to see, and to Jeremy's point, I want to see L.A. with their full complement of players. I want to see how D'Antoni implements the system. I mean, D'Antoni's not a scrub. Don't get me wrong. He is not a scrub, guys. And I think we all agree with that. I mean, he did win in Phoenix all these years. But, I just want to see how this whole thing plays out. And I think the best way to find out is if Howard does come back to L.A. And even though he acts as if he didn't want to be in L.A., I guess at times, but the fact of the matter is, I think on paper, and plus with the franchise, I think that may be his best bet to get what he wants in terms of maybe, championship, the championship pedigree, the history, and the exposure, the spotlight, the media coverage. I mean, if he wants it to be really all about him, he really should stay in L.A. because it's going to be his team anyway in another year. You know, and I think Kobe is more than willing to transition that leadership torch to him. I just don't know what he's going to do because, as we all know, he just has a little bit of a hard time making up his mind for some reason.
But if you're the Lakers, do you get the job max money?
Well, you know what I'm saying, right, right. That could give him max money. They're the only team that could give him max money under the collective bargaining agreement.
No, but would you?
Would I give him max money? No. That's simple. Well, me personally, no. From what I've seen from him, over the years in Orlando, how he drug that song and dance out in his last couple of years there. And, you know, granted, he was less than 100% most of the year last season. I'll give him that. He worked his ass off to come back. He came back a bit too early. But from as far as the totality of his career, what I've seen up to this point, I'm not so sure I would. Then again, I don't get paid the big bucks to make some important decisions like that. But me, I'd be a little hesitant to give him much money. I bet you got Jimmy.
You got to give him the max money. Someone else will if you don't. I mean, I would, because how many centers are better than him in the league? Sure. You know, last year, Marc Gasol, and I'm running out of names here. I mean, you know, if he was completely healthy, you could say at times Andrew Bynum was, but who knows where that man's head is at. He is completely gone.
Fuck your hairdos and froze.
Yeah, all he did was grow hair and sit on the bench for a whole season and take $17
right.
million dollars from Philadelphia, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a free agent. So, I mean, he might come back to L.A. if that knee's better, if Dwight leaves. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be hilarious.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's in that argument, fellas. I may throw Brook Lopez in that argument in terms of what centers have played or outplayed Dwight Howard last year.
Mm.
If you just limit it to last year, I may have to throw Brook Lopez in that argument.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Do you think Brook Lopez is a better center? Because Orlando wouldn't have traded for him when they had Dwight. I think the only way that he's better than Dwight is if Dwight's playing hurt. If Dwight's healthy, he will, put them head to head and watch Dwight destroy Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez is just, standing out pretty well against a complete lack of centers in the East. That's the main thing he's getting away. He's getting away with it, but give him credit. You know, when they're not there, he does produce. So I'll give him that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dwayne.
That's all right, but that's going off that whole argument of if. We really don't know whether or not or how bad Dwight's back really is. It's a possibility that this dude may not ever regain his old form and be what he once was when he was on Orlando. But I will agree, in his zenith in Orlando, this guy, very athletic, could run the floor. I would have loved to have seen that guy play under the D'Antoni system. He had the ability to run up and down the floor. His ability to play defense and play off the ball to get position was just ridiculous when he was there. And also to play with a relatively decent point guard in Nelson while he was there, even though I didn't like Skip to my Lou a little bit better. I still disagree with the fact that I was pitching him in the finals against the Lakers, but that did just help LA win another title. So, Jeremy, you should be kind of grateful for that decision. But I'm still questioning whether or not Dwight can be that old Dwight again. We'll just have to see. We really will.
That's what Amnesty is for. If he's not, kick it to the curb. But I think if you're in the NBA and you've got your own franchise, you have to be willing to roll the dice to that he's going to get back to that. Because when he's on, he is that good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask a quick question. I'm guessing you guys know better than I do. In terms of the amnesty clause, is that an annual thing, or do you only get to use it once, or one player once their contract runs out?
You get, each team gets one.
Okay.
Total, yeah. I believe.
Right.
And
right.
The Lakers have never used theirs.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Honestly, what makes the most sense if Kobe isn't coming back is to amnesty him for the last year of his contract and free up $30 million.
Makes
but,
perfect sense.
They won't do that. That would take a whole lot more guts than anyone in the Bucks family has.
Can you imagine ESPN like jerking off to that news bit, you know? Skip Bayless, all those guys, like, what are you doing? Amnesty Kobe Bryant. And especially after Mark Cuban just said that in jest in passing, like last year, which was pretty funny.
If teams didn't care about anything about loyalty, that's honestly the best decision they could make.
Yeah.
But it will never happen.
Right. I don't think the Lakers will amnesty Kobe Bryant. I mean, as much as maligned as Jim Buss is, he would get his ass raked through the coals and thought about to kingdom come if he amnesty Kobe Bryant. Right quick, so basically, I'm trying to think here. So basically, I think we're all saying here that Mike D'Antoni should get at least one more year in L.A. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes. I'm a fan of continuity, and he needs a full year with his staff, with this team, in order to properly be judged.
Yeah. Which is another reason why it would not surprise me to see Howard back in L.A. What I think is going to happen is, excuse me, when L.A. comes with that contingent to talk to him, I guess it's later this week, is that...
today.
Oh, today. Well, there you go.
They're talking to him today.
Oh, wow. Well, fast forward to today then. I think what's going to happen is I think D'Antoni, rumors of them button heads about coaching styles and playing, to his playing abilities, things of that nature. I think D'Antoni's going to sit him down and map out what his plan is with a full, healthy contingent on the Laker roster. And I think that, I think he's going to use, he being D'Antoni, he's going to use that same pick-and-roll system that worked so well with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire way back when, well, only a few years ago. And I can envision Dwight as that pick-and-roll center, that the big guy sending the pick and rolling his ass to the basket because he's athletic enough. And especially if he's fully healthy, recovering from his back injury, I think he would thrive in that system. I honestly do because he's very mobile and very athletic. I mean, am I barking up the wrong tree here? I honestly think that would work for him.
You got to give it a try.
I think it will work. And I think that those things, and I think Magic Johnson will sit him down and say, Dwight, now it's when you're fully healthy, I can see you and Kobe Bryant in the second half of next season turning on and bringing back Showtime. I can see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming in and teaching Dwight the ways of the world as far as big men are concerned. I could see Jerry West, and if they really wanted to pull up the stops, Gale Goodrich, all those old-school liquor guys, I would say Byron. Well, Byron Scott's on the point, so Byron Scott and a few other guys from Lakers lore, maybe Norm Nixon, bring those guys back to talk to him, and school him about the Laker way. Probably get them to buy into the tradition of the big man in Lakers franchise history. And I think those things, along with the allure, the media, the big-ass media that's out there, and the fact that if he wins championships with the Lakers, his name will be etched amongst the greatest of all time, I think that will appeal to him in the end. Now, again, we're dealing with Dwight Howard, the indecisive Dwight Howard. We don't know what the hell he's thinking. Hell, he may change his mind one minute and go the next way. I mean, who knows? But to me, that's what I'm saying. To me, as far as, like, on paper right now, which with the teams involved into the White House sweepstakes, on paper, I think Houston may be a better fit for him in his personality, more or less. But I think if he wants to win, to Jeremy's point, if he wants to prove to be the all-time great, he'll keep us behind out in L.A.
True. But I'm also, I have to take a page out of Shaq's book toward the end of the year, this past year, and say that the Laker organization is not one that you really play around with. You have to respect that organization. And you even have to take in the points of what Jeremy just said in terms of you look at their history, you look at the organization as a whole. This isn't one of those organizations that you just drag out of the entire situation or whether or not you want to come back or not. You know whether or not you want to play with the Lakers. And I'm thinking that this, you know, he already knows he's going to, he has the ability to get max money out of L.A. So why would you even go through this entire tour whether not knowing or knowing that you want to return to L.A. or not? This whole thing just leads me to believe he's not going to return to L.A. I mean, he has max money. He knows that the Lakers are the organization that they're going to do whatever they can in order to win. The lore of the organization is there. If he wanted to play, he would have made the decision before the year ended that, hey, I'm going to return to the Lakers. I'm going to play. I'm going to do whatever I can in order to bust my ass to be here and play well under the system. But, yeah, this is something that you do with maybe the 76ers or maybe even the Bobcats. You know, do I want to return?
Yeah.
We'll see. Let me see what everybody else has to offer first before I come back. This is something that you do with the Lakers. Matter of fact, Jeremy, can you remember another player that has really done this? I mean, I know Kobe talked about it, but did Kobe really go outside of L.A. to really look at another team in terms of signing someplace else?
He talked about it before his contract was up. But it, looking back, it looks more like a negotiation ploy than anything.
Yeah.
I think if he hadn't gotten the answers and the response from the Lakers that he wanted, yeah, he very well could have left. But you know, his first choice was obviously to stay there and have them change rather than him have to move.
True.
Right. Yeah, I think Kobe going elsewhere.
So. That's another reason that leads me to believe I don't think he comes back.
Well, I'll say this, fellas. Like, to Kobe's point with Kobe Bryant, I think that was truly a negotiation point. I we all knew, and I knew, and Kobe ultimately knew that he wasn't going to leave the black and gold, the purple and gold. He wasn't going to go, remember when the rumors were that Kobe was going to switch locker rooms to go to the Clippers? You know how laughable that was? I just think that it's a two-team horse right now. I think it's either going to be L.A. or Houston. And I think that, it's like, keep in mind that Dwight Howard likes to be liked and likes to be loved. He wants to be recruited. He wants to go through the same thing like LeBron James went through with the quote-unquote decision bullshit on television. But, you know, I mean, the thing is that I think he being Dwight Howard, just taking it all in. And who could blame him? You know, if he wants to be shown love, I mean, if you're an egomaniac, why not? Why not?
They got, you know, about the billboards that they put up around L.A., well, they got one on a flatbed truck, and they've just been driving up and down the street where he's having these meetings all day long.
Wow, that's just blatant.
These are happening in L.A., and that's exactly what they're doing. So.
Excellent.
Like
I said,
this decision is going to show a whole lot about the type of man he is. I've been wondering, I'm not sure, and, you know, this decision will let me know exactly which way I'm going to look at Dwight from now on.
I think you're not the only one, bro. I think you're one of many who's going to just see what type of superstar or quote-unquote superstar Dwight Howard is by his decision. I really think that. And my money is, I think, just on this. Well, not really, but because I don't have many money to gamble. But at any rate, I just think that, I mean, the White House is going to get killed out of L.A., in my opinion. But I think he'll be killed less if he stays in L.A. Because, you know, I think that'll be, even though it may seem to be the hardest thing to do, I think it's the path of least resistance. Because, you know, he wouldn't have the pressure. The pressure wouldn't be on him to win, say, like, if he goes to Houston. He wouldn't have pieces around him. We have a James Harden who's willing to defer. We have, like, a decent point guard in Jeremy Lin. We have Chandler Parsons. We have a good coach in Kevin McHale, you know, on paper. You know, if he goes there, that team is expected to contend right away. And I don't know if Dwight Howard is up to that challenge. Huh?
And they also have extra money. They don't have a lot of money on the books. They have a lot of free agents coming off the books for them this year as well.
Yeah, yeah. So basically it's to the point where Houston, if they lose out on the Dwight Howard sweepstakes, they'll make a run at Josh Smith. You know, because they have the money to do it, and they need a void. I guess still a void in the front court. But, I mean, Dwight Howard, he's just an interesting case, guys. I mean, talent-wise, dude is, bar none, the best big man in the NBA right now. I mean, I think we all know that. But it's just the personality, the capriciousness of this guy. You know, you just don't know what he likes to do. You know, we all know what his mind is. You don't know if he wants to be here 1 minute and wants out the next minute. I mean, who knows, man? Who knows? I don't know at this point. I really don't know. Because, Jeremy, didn't you tell me once on Facebook that if the White House does resign, that you would be surprised if he wants out in the trade 2 years later?
That won't surprise me at all. If he does resign and things start to struggle, he will probably throw down the trade me or fire someone or, you know, trade me or trade Kobe type of card. He will most likely throw that down. That's my expectation.
Of course.
And you know what? He'd probably be right, too. If 2 years from now he resigns and they're no better than they were last year, he'd be well within his rights to do so. But, he might even want to go out even if things are going well.
Right.
That's a whole, other podcast there.
Right, right. You know, I'd like to be loved more. I know we're a billion games over 500 and leading the Pacific Division by 2,000 games, but I just want to be loved. And Kobe's getting on my last nerve. He's hurting my feelings. You know, who knows with this guy? Who knows this guy? But, you know, I think, you know, like before, Jeremy, like, I guess enlightened me on a couple of days, Laker-related. I had Dwight going to Houston, but I forgot that the Lakers will have a lot of that money coming off the books in 2 years. And with Dwight in tow, I think it'll be – I mean, it's not to say that it's going to be hard for the Lakers to lure at least one superstar, but I think that it will be a lot easier with Dwight there to lure another superstar. And whether that superstar is Carmelo Anthony – LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, who knows? Because I think Dwayne Wade's a free agent the same year, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, but he doesn't have near the draw that he once did after putting up two good games in the finals. He's not the player he once was, and most people realize that.
Which is too bad because he's a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, fellas, I believe to make it whoever they want without a key player there because of the type of organization that they are.
Yeah. And that's why I think Dwight, in the end, I think he will end up staying in L.A. It wouldn't surprise me in a bit because who would lead the Lakers? Who in the right mind is going to go away from the franchise who's proven time and time again that they know what to do and how to go about it to win championships? There's no teams. I mean, they're a first-class organization. You know, they just are. You know, I wish they sprinkled some of the pixie dust on the Knicks, but that's a whole other story in of itself. But, you know, the thing is that the Lakers, they're the bomb-ass franchise. I put them up there, and I think it's the Lakers and everybody else as far as franchise is concerned. It's just that as long as Jim Buss does not get in the way and screw things up, they're going to be okay.
But see, that's the thing, because it's too early in his career to really mm-hmm. analyze this guy and judge him on what type of decisions that he really makes. I say after his third year, then you may be able to say, okay, well, this dude is known for making these type of decisions. And if they've been a string of bad decisions, if they can't seem to get anybody in there to help him guide the ship, then he may be labeled as such. But until that point, right now, it's still relatively fresh, and the organization can thrive off of name recognition alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, and yeah. I'll tell you this much. If Dwight does walk, don't be surprised to hear about Jeannie Buss coming in and throwing in a lot more control and taking some of the power away from her brother. Do not be surprised by that at all. Her and Phil Jackson might come in with a power play and push him to the sides.
Mm. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, that'd be. I don't think ESPN would be ready for that type of drama. I don't think they'd be ready for that type of drama. That would be hilarious. I can see that happening because Jeannie Buss, she has that business acumen. You know, she has. From what I've seen her do in the past, for us decision making, things of that nature, I thought that one of the few mistakes that Jerry Buss, the great Dr. Jerry Buss, made was that he didn't give his daughter more control when he was a few years before he passed. Because I thought that Jeannie Buss had more of the acumen to lead the franchise more than Jim did. I think Jim is one of those guys. Who you know, that spoiled rich kid who wants to show that he's in control, that he knows what the hell he's doing when he really doesn't. And he wants to bully people into thinking that way at the risk of ruining his own house, ruining his own organization, his own company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he strikes me as that kind of guy.
You mean like Daniel Snyder? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's like... Yeah. Hey, yeah, I mean, we've been reading with Phil Jackson. Let's get him out of here. You know, Mike Brown, not an L.A. guy, more defensive player and more defensive coach, doesn't have the offensive acumen. Let's bring him anywhere because I want him. You know, and by the time it's going to be Brian's decision, like endorsing the lack of Mike Brown. I mean, come on. Oh, man. I don't know. Well, I guess we're all sounding exactly well with Dwight Howard and Jim Buss. I think we're out of breath here. Well, anything else, fellas? I mean, we got a few minutes left. 7 to be exact. Any last shots, party shots, Jeremy? Any party shots for your Lakers and Dwight Howard? Or Dwight Howard, period?
I'm waiting to see what happens next. I'm going to have a whole lot to say after the decision, but I think I've thrown out there everything I can come up with tonight.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I think we'll learn more. I guess they're meeting tonight, and I guess we'll find out more tomorrow, if not the day after. I think we'll find out more tomorrow, in my opinion, on ESPN or whoever the hell. Dwayne, any parting shots on Dwight Howard?
Wow. Not really. I think I've said all I can with this guy, especially I don't know. He talks a big game about wanting to win, and then when he's in a situation that he doesn't like, I mean, we've already said everything about this guy that everyone already knows.
Right.
Right. That's almost my response to everything that this dude is doing now. It's just okay, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
But How do you make this a basketball-minded decision in terms of wanting to win a championship and not make a decision on this dude on his own personal brand? So,
right.
You know, if he wants to further his brand and that's what he's about, so be it. But if you're playing basketball to be known as one of the best ever, make that decision and move on from there as well.
Right. All right, well, we'll see. We're meeting today, so as we speak. So who the hell knows? But I guess that's what makes good sports drama. That's what the good old off-season is all about. But thanks a lot, Jeremy. Thanks a lot, Dwayne. Sergio had to drop off early, but thank you all three for chiming in. We're going to do this again. We're going to do this panel again soon.
Sounds good.
All right, take care, guys.
All right,
peace out. All right. Now, that was Jeremy Winters, Dwayne Nash. Cedric Hall had to drop off earlier. But that's a fun part about NBA free agency, especially with this guy, Dwight Howard, is that you don't know really what the hell is going to happen until when it happens. And but like I said on my blog that I thought Houston would have a better shot at signing him because of his personality. I think it's a better fit for his personality. But when Sharp made the bid that L.A. is able to re-sign him because they have the money to re-sign him, they're able to pay him the max money, and, well, $30 million more, and it's L.A. L.A. or Houston. L.A. or Houston. L.A. wins 10 times out of 10. At any rate, I'm out of time. This is Scott Burks with the Clown Hour. You take care. And until next podcast.